Just think for a second why you're here. And what is it that brings you to do this? What are you looking for or wanting? What do you like and know that is beneficial for you when you come? May I hear a few of you, a few of your words?
Peace.
Peace.
Serenity.
Serenity, similar.
Focus.
To slow down.
To slow down.
Less reactivity.
Less reactivity. I'm repeating it so that everyone else can hear you. Thank you.
Silence.
Silence, yes.
Space.
And space.
Authenticity. Newness.
Newness, did you say? Newness.
Others on the same
path. Others, yes. Connection. Right. Belonging.
Less fear.
To replenish yourself.
To deepen
your practice, right. Get more familiar with how this all works.
Inspiration.
Oh, I'll do my best.
Comfort.
Happiness. And compassion. Lovely, lovely. Aren't these beautiful qualities? We know all these things. And we know that we need them and somehow need to be in a situation like this to access them more than the marketplace, as I like to call it. Thank you for sharing those things. A lot of what you say is from your experience. You know that by being quiet, by becoming reflective, we can access these qualities. But some of us hope. We don't know that that's possible, but we hope it's possible, you know, and so it's a motivation from desire, maybe, not based so much on experience. But lots of you who spoke, I know, are experienced, so for those who are hoping, may you take comfort from those who weren't hoping, but who know. Thank you. I'll just a little bit of the format of how this works, especially those who are newer to this kind of situation here. I'll be giving guidance, suggestions, instructions in practice this period, and we'll do it together, some guidance as we practice, and then practice silently, and then opportunity for a few questions. And then we'll break and do some walking meditation, which I will also instruct and describe. And we'll walk for a period, walking meditation, becoming silent. Then we'll come back and sit, and then we'll go and walk, and then we'll come back and sit, and then we'll have lunch, and then we'll go and sit, and then I'll give a talk. And I'll talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it, the sort of the longer talk, rather the instructions of what we're doing it and how to do it are in the morning, and then in the afternoon why we would do this, and sort of more integrating these understandings with how this affects our lives. And a little more sitting and walking in the afternoon. We will aim to end. We'll be out of here by 4:30 this afternoon. We may end a little before that. Between 4 and 4:30, we'll finish our afternoon. And then it's similar tomorrow morning, same sort of schedule. During that time, in some of those periods when there's walking meditation, those who'd like to come and meet with me and talk more on an individual basis about what's going on for you or ask questions, I'll meet with smaller groups of a dozen, no more, in this little room in here. It's called the theater, right beside the staircase door. And the people who are newer, who've not sat in residential retreats, for example, where you've done more intensive practice, I'd like you to meet with me at 11:30 in that room. So when we do these retreats, we are retreating from not just the world and its busyness, the marketplace, but retreating from the neurosis in our minds. We're trying to let go of the normal worrying, planning, multitasking, storytelling neurosis and become much simpler and much more present. And it's helpful to do it when others are being present and when we don't have other things to deal with. So you have no responsibilities, you don't have to worry about what's happening, you just follow instructions, I'll give you warning that lunch is coming up, so that's all you need to think about, which of course you won't be able to not think about, but we're going to try and be simple and present. It's also conducive to do it in silence. Silence is a very powerful thing when we all agree to silence. We get very pulled to the surface and pulled to our image making and our defending and our storytelling when we're expressing it to one another. But when we don't need to, in a silence, we can drop a lot of that. So it's really supportive to be reflective. And what we do really when we're meditating, and this is like solid meditating, that's the idea all day long for 2 days, is we go from looking out to the world and its stimulus and the things we have to do with it, to being able to look inside and be with what's happening for me in here. And often there's a lot going on in here, but the idea is that when we're interacting with the world, it stimulates what we have to do with it. When we don't need to interact with the world particularly, other than the beauty of nature, the simplicity of a bird, we can begin to stop this automatic reaction to things. You know, Laurie was saying non-reactive, less reactivity. We will see, it's the weirdest thing, when you start looking inside yourself, those of you who are new, that there is so much already going on inside there. But in order to become calmer and clearer and all the beautiful things you all said, to have space and to have some stillness and touch into your compassion, we need to see whether that's happening inside or not. And mostly it's not. So the first thing we see is just how busy and crazy and stirred up and worried we are. But we learn how to allow that to relax. We learn how to relax with that, and it then is clamoring less and less and less. So we do access increasing calm, peace, happiness, the things that you know, things that you were talking about. So being silent, which just means leaving each other alone, like not getting on the level of engagement, but just being with yourself in the company of each other. It doesn't mean ignore each other and shut each other out, but it means not engaging by looking or by dealing with anyone. Just leave people alone. It's so lovely to not have to respond to anybody. It's such a relief. And so it's a gift that we give each other to leave each other alone. That's the point of the silence. It's not to, you know, make yourself isolated, you know, and feel anxious. It's just so nice of you to not call somebody's attention to you or call them out to have to deal with anything. So we're giving each other space, really, in the silence. It's a gift. By doing retreats together, it's way more helpful than doing retreats on your own. If you do retreat on your own, there isn't the support of a group. When we do something together with other people, it's so much more powerful because everyone's pulling in the same direction. And we do it as it's called a retreat container. Being contained in the company of others, accessing and aiming for these beautiful things that you've said, it helps us do the same thing. It helps us not become neurotic again. It helps us not get caught up again. And so doing it together is offering that focus to each other and getting that focus from each other. And so we're conscious of each other. We do this carefully. So just being silent doesn't mean now you're in your own little bubble and you're forgetting everyone else. We're actually way more sensitive to each other when we're silent, funnily enough. And so just keeping the sense of respect and support. So we come in here carefully, we come in here on time, we come in here quietly, not out of fear and because we're supposed to, but because actually that's the nicest way to help other people have their own simplicity and space and connect with themselves. So there's a lot of warmth and friendliness and kindness in doing this together, creating a sacred space together, holding the sacredness of the place together. So we make the retreat in this way. We slow down. You don't have to make yourself crawl around the place, but in general we rush because we're ahead of ourselves, and you don't need to be ahead of yourself. You can just get up and walk at a sort of like an appropriate pace, and you can do it much more slowly than the usual speedy, zooming, worldly life. So let yourself slow down, just be sort of much more natural and comfortable as you move. And we even still, and as we sit here, we sit still. So there's a stilling. But I want you to be really gentle about the stillness and don't feel that it's an imposed rigidity. You don't have to sit stock still as if you were a statue, as if you're completely at peace, when we know perfectly well we've got all kinds of things inside ourselves. So be realistic with your posture, adjust when you need to, move your shoulders when you need to, change your arms if you need to, move your head and your neck from time to time when sitting to make sure that you're not getting all stiff. And for some people, if you're uncomfortable sitting, you'll need to actually adjust your feet. So if you're on the floor with your knees apart, for instance, and it gets sore, bring your knees up for a few moments, then bring them back down again. And, you know, be kind to yourself, be realistic. And I really recommend, if you're really uncomfortable in sitting after a period, two things. If you're really becoming uncomfortable, or if you are becoming really dull and slumping and nodding, which you'll find will happen some of the time, stand up right where you are. Just stand as you are there and take a few minutes, continuing in the meditation, but with standing. It antidotes those other two extremes quite nicely. Before you stand up, though, if you're becoming uncomfortable sitting, be kind and adjust yourself. But before you even do that, just pay attention to what it is you're feeling and where is it. And become a little bit intimate with whatever the discomfort is you're feeling in your body. Let that be a focus for your collecting your attention and exploring, being interested. What is it actually? Where is it? What's going on? Which we normally don't do. If anything's uncomfortable, we do anything to avoid it. Don't want to face that. We want to fix that. So here we are meditating with our lives. It's not an avoidance. And so allow, if there's discomfort, you to actually explore that a little bit and see if you can do micro adjustments and soften around it and make space and be interested. I might say more as we do some meditation about that. Before you adjust, adjustment and moving isn't the solution only. If it gets uncomfortable to the point that you can't be interested and it's difficult for you, becoming your whole focus, I don't want that. You don't want to sit there struggling all day. That's not meditating either. So that's when it's okay to move. So it's a fine line between being with what's happening and being kind to yourself so that you aren't caught in struggle. As I already said in the very beginning, we tell stories. What goes on with an undirected mind is the story of me runs itself. There's this constant narrative, I this, I worry about this, I want this, how dare they do that to me, all the time. And when it's broken up with other people and things you have to do, you won't notice it, but when you're sitting here quietly in retreat, without that bombardment of stimulus coming at you, you'll witness it loud and clear. There's a tea called constant comment. I have a package in my drawer just to keep it. It's a constant commentary going on, and it's your story. The plot, the players, the dramas, the situation, we just tell that story. That's where we're interested. It's embarrassing. It's ludicrous. It's futile. And it isn't free. It's entangled. Entangled. The attention is entangled in this story, which oftentimes isn't even the true story. It's just a bit of life creating a whole lot of dramatization going on inside you. It's like you're movie making in there with you as the central player. And so what we learn in meditation is to redirect the attention from that story. Redirect it into what's simply happening really and truly in the present moment. It gives us a bit of relief from that relentless narrative and the associated dramas and then feelings and tensions that go along with it to something much more basic. So meditation is simpler than that normal life. It's more present. It's more true. Because that drama that you're making up is actually made up. It isn't really happening. There may be a few details of it which happen, which then cause you to write the whole script. And so we take apart that whole script, but we do it by redirecting the attention. And we do, the first place to redirect the attention is very simple, is the body. Most of us don't even notice that we have a body. You know, we're so busy in our minds, we've forgotten completely that we're embodied creatures, unless it trips over something or has to, you know, get through a doorway or something. So come home to the present moment and come home to your body's experience of the present moment. And it isn't just to observe your body, but actually be a body. To come into your body. To be inside it the way you are in a yoga class or in a dance class or sometimes with some sports. Often with sports you forget the body, you're just on the ball or whatever the sport is, the hurdle. But if you can be in the body, you'll be less caught in the narrative-making mind, the fabricating mind. And then there are attitudes which are part of all of this. And so I want you to remember these and check back into them every so often. There are sort of support players to meditation. I'll talk more about mindfulness meditation itself in a second, but the supportive players are, number one, to relax. Not to relax your mind so much that you just automatically go on narrative. I don't mean that kind of relaxing, just drifting here, neurotically running along the story. I mean just relax tension whenever you can find it, particularly physically. Relax the face, the frowning. Relax around the eyes, relax the jaws. I'll talk you through this a little bit. That's one. Another one is be kind about the whole process. Don't be grim, don't be tough, don't be mean. Care. What brought you here? Wishing for these beautiful experiences, knowing that they're possible, is because you actually respect yourself. You actually honor your deeper self. That's a caring, beautiful. So do this with that kind of care. Be careful you don't get frustrated or judge or get down on yourself. Don't bring negativity to it. It's from really deep respect that we do this. So make sure that there's that quality of caring for yourself. Be careful. I love that instruction. Be careful. Beautiful. So be careful. Be simple. It's simple. Don't try too much. If I give words, say words, don't try too hard to figure out everything I'm saying or to do everything the way I say it. I say a lot of different styles of things because different people will pick up different things, but we don't all have to get everything I say and apply all of it. So don't make it busy. Let yourself be simple. Let a word or two or a phrase or an instruction land in your mind. If it lands in your mind, and go, oh yeah, I like that. And then just let it go. Don't try too hard. Be simple. A couple of other characteristics in meditation that are required. One is curiosity. Be curious. Be curious about what you feel in your body, for instance. When I say be embodied, be a body, do it with curiosity. Because to just tell yourself to do it is one thing. It's a direction, a bit of an intention. But if you add interest, you wonder about it. Where actually is the tension in my body? It actually applies your energy to it. Our energy goes where our interest goes. You know, when you're interested in anything, that's what you do with your time. You know it's true in your whole life. And so be interested in your present experience, your body experience, your somatic experience. So apply some curiosity to what's happening. And as I offer different suggestions, bring curiosity to those things. If you're feeling sleepy, be interested in it. What's that like to be sleepy? Before you stand up, feel what it is that you're feeling really noddy. What is that? Get to know it. We become intimate with our experience. All of this practice is about experience. It's not theoretical. It's not imposing ideas or strategies. It's experience. And so get to know yourself. Become intimate with your experience. And to become intimate with anything, it takes time and it takes curiosity. The image, many of you know, I've said many times, when I think of becoming intimate with something, is a newborn baby's mother. I was a midwife, 20-something years. My daughter had just had a baby a few months ago. I think of a mother and a newborn baby, and the mother doesn't do anything about it, but she stays really close with that. And she learns about that. She becomes intimate by opening her attention to this whatever it is, in her case, her baby. It's irresistible. Just looking, being with that. What's that? Not to figure anything out or to get it right or to anything, just because we're getting to know ourselves, our bodies. Eventually we'll get to know our minds, our hearts. But there's got to be that curiosity. It goes along with caring for yourself. Care for yourself. Get to know yourself. And along with that is honesty. Really get to know yourself. Not what you want to be or what you think it ought to be or what your experience, you know, and then judge your experience and dismiss some part of it. Really honestly be there with that. All of it. So there's honesty with it. Which takes some gutsiness when we're facing our, you know, our difficulties, for instance. You know, there are negative states or our worries. Stay honestly with that. What's that like? Honest, curious, kind, gentle. And then one last supporting player and being in the present moment is ongoingly. Keep it up. Keep doing it. And do it again. And do it some more and longer. The continuity of doing this is where the strength of it comes. It isn't just a quick little hit that you do something, like a moment of activity. It's more a sinking into living this way. Abiding is one of the words we use. Abide curiously with your shoulders for some moments, like extend your moments of experience. So there's a slowing down of the jumpy mind. We're very good at jumping on the top of this and onto that. And we think we know a lot. We know very little, many things. Jacks of all trade, masters of none kind of thing is the typical modern mind. So become skillful about what's going on inside yourself. Some, you can even choose a part of your body and hang out there. So that slowing down of the, onto the next thing, onto the next thing, onto the next thing, that's also part of the training of meditators. Slow down, settle with, sink into, I usually word S words I use, stay, sink, settle, steady.